I'ma want you. Baby, I'ma need you. You're the only one I care enough to hurt about. Maybe I'm a crazy, but I just can't live without your loving and affection, giving me direction, like a guiding light to help me through my darkest hour. Lately I'm afraid
something like a Comic-Con. Here we go. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. We're recovering tonight from More on More, which I'm sure you've all listened to at this point, and you know, if your eyes aren't bleeding now, see,
from walking through the Moore door.
I am Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, is the Jedi, Cole Houston.
Good evening.
So we asked ourselves, what would be the best way to climb out, to fight through the detritus and driftwood of our souls after talking about Alan Moore, and climb out, you know, nails ripping on the subcutaneous walls of Alan Moore's beard that has infested our souls.
The irony here is that we had it all figured out, but then due to scheduling constraints,
we had to move it. Which we do sometimes, we landed on a topic that will allow us to scour our athemiatic souls with something that we with anger and rage and jealousy, sometimes bile. But it's a topic. This is our third time, Cole. Our third time talking about this on the show.
It's become not only a tradition, but kind of a necessity, if you will.
It has, and that topic is, as it is every year, right about this time, is San Diego Comic-Con 20 whatever it is, whatever year we're doing this. If it's 2045 by the time we keel off in the middle of this particular episode.
That's right. That's really how I want to go. I want to die mid-podcast. Like, I want to be like that guy that voiced George Jetson, who apparently had literally died while recording.
Just
he was like, I guess,
mid dying,
and actually repeated, because they were actually having to feed him his lines, and
because he was
his last words were literally George, are you all right?
Because he was repeating back what they were saying.
Yeah, and then
I did not know that. That's an interesting parable.
I found.
Let that be a lesson to you, all you future podcasters and voice actors out there. If you're dying, make it poignant. If you know that you're dying, don't be doing it in the middle of, you know, the 85th live action Heathcliff movie.
Yeah, and do it like, you know, defy even the conventional wisdom expressed in Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Shit.
If you're dying and you're writing something, go ahead and just finish it. Just, you know, if you're dying, just write "arr."
Right, just finish it up. Finish it up. But yeah, tonight we're talking about San Diego Comic-Con 2015 convention exclusives. And if you're a fan of the show, if you've listened to the show, you know that we do this every single year. It started back in our collector sector days with Stu Balk and Cole and myself and Rick, and the show ends up being 3 hours long because we all just bitch and moan about what we can't get at San Diego Comic-Con. So we adapted it for this show.
And we also bitched about the fact that we weren't going to Comic-Con.
Right, we bitched about that a lot.
That added to the ire.
So anybody who's going, the Super Cool Nerd Show crew, all you guys, good for you. Kiss my ass. Still not going.
That's right.
Shut up. Stop it.
Tell them I hate them.
Tell them I hate them. damn it. So yes, that's what we're talking about. Now, I will, in my research for doing this, I will say this, that I'm not too impressed with what I saw this year so far. Like,
I didn't agree. It's like, finally.
This happens every couple years.
So bothered.
Yeah.
Did the bitching pay off?
Like, every couple years we come across one particular, you know, a year where it's just not, it doesn't reach out and grab you. It doesn't abracadabra you. I'm going to reach out and grab you. It doesn't do that. It's just kind of there. And I think we've identified, and I want to kind of get into this early. Cole identified something early on in the research that I think might speak to this. And that's, there's just a drought of Marvel stuff this year that we've been able to find for research. And keep in mind, we're a month out?
Yeah.
Usually,
I mean,
by now, we've
been almost, if not everything that's going to be revealed has been revealed. If there's something that hasn't been revealed, it's like, Happy's school supplies is
have right.
A San Diego exclusive binder, you know, Trapper Keeper.
Paper company is releasing some watermarked Avengers Age of Ultron. Like, you get that stuff, but the big names, the big stuff has already been released, has already been your, because they want you to have your money set aside to buy what you want, so they're going to release it early and tell you where to stand in line for 3 hours to buy it, all of those things. So that stuff is already out there, and there's just no Marvel stuff. And I've got a question for you, because early on this year, like 6-7 months ago, there were reports going around, and they still are, and I've seen them, that say that Marvel, in any kind of official capacity, in big official capacity, in whatever the big Hall H is and all that, they are not going to be there.
Yeah, I have heard that, and apparently they're I'd read something that there was a Q&A with I believe it was James Gunn, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
axing after whether he was gonna be attending Comic-Con, and he's like, I don't know, I don't think Marvel's going.
Right. And do you think that's affecting the exclusives, because we're not really seeing anything Marvel side at all?
Yeah, and that's the thing, because the thing that the article, the little piece, the blurb, or what have you, that I read, the report, if you will, was that the speculation is running around that Marvel, being essentially Disney's creature now,
right,
is being held back because, as the article put it, this is a D23 year. I'm not sure what that means.
Well, that's Disney's. Disney has their big convention.
Yeah, but wouldn't every year be a D23 year if that's their convention?
Well, it is.
I mean, I guess that what threw me was the article referring to it being that this is D23 year. And now that I know, and knowing if G.I. Joe taught us anything, is half the battle.
At least half the battle.
At
least.
In this case, the entire war. That obviously, the author of this article was about as clueless about what D23 means as I was, and made that patently obvious, and making it sound like D23 was some kind of bloody brigadoon.
It just came around. Yeah. It was like the immortal lands, the immortal city lining up every year, every 30 years.
Every year it loses some of its brigadooniness.
That is not a word. I'm gonna go on record and say brigadooniness.
I found out that LOL got in the dictionary, so brigadooniness is something I'm going to try to chant.
Isn't that what they said in Galaxy Quest? Isn't that?
I think it may well have been, or it should have been, in this special edition. Because if Will Smith can get Jiggy into the dictionary, and be unable to define it himself when pressed on Inside the Actor's Studio,
we could put a man on the moon. And Jiggy can get in the dictionary, but my God.
No one's touching brigadooniness.
Why wasn't there ever a Brigadoonsberry?
Well, there was. It just was published.
well played.
It took 45 years to publish the first collection.
Damn it. Damn it, well played. But yes, yeah. So do you, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me that they wouldn't want. Is there some sort of secret moratorium on Marvel getting to put, you know, or like Entertainment Earth or, you know, Hot Toys or Mezco or, you know, Reaction, the Funko people being able to do Marvel stuff because Marvel pulled out? Like, is this punishment or?
Yeah, I don't know if maybe as a result, what you may have here is a domino effect. Marvel is officially not going, so maybe everybody's like, oh, we should just hold out our exclusives for where we're, you know, our exclusives are being supported by their presence.
That's a good
and
point.
And we're going to get their, that audience that's been denied us here.
That's a that's a really, like, the, all the hardcore Marvel fans are going to be
precisely
at D23, so why don't we release our, you know, weird, you know,
yeah,
hot
if
toys.
Yeah, if you want the, whatever we're going to, I'm racking my brain to think of something, because, you know, the giant-ass helicarrier, which was like a foot longer than the one released at Walmart, or the, which was still drastically too small for
right.
And much like the flag from G.I. Joe toys, it was just like, well, it's an awfully small aircraft carrier. But yeah, there's room for like the entire cockpit holds one. But, you know, and then you, of course, you have that really cool and covetous and criminally expensive to obtain now Infinity Gauntlet.
Yes, yes.
Thing, which is one of the most clever things I've ever seen. And that's one of the things that's also, it seems like not only is Marvel gone, but the clever is gone.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of that this year.
But
like,
I'm trying to wrap my brain to think, if they're holding out for D23, if, for example, Hasbro's holding out, what's their play? What's their end game for this year? What would be incredibly cool? For me, I think what would be insanely cool is not one, not two, but three or four different exclusives.
Okay.
Because cramming them all together may not make sense, but I would love to see something that we talked about on past toy-related shows. I've done in my wish list, my fanciful wizard casting call of toys that I've done in the past, I've made a desperate silent plea for this, and that's to have some really cool 3¾-inch flyers. That is to say, Black Knight with Aragorn.
Or, yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody else with something else.
Well, the Hawkeye with his thing.
Yeah, Hawkeye with the sky sled thing.
Right. You could. There are a thousand of them. Green Goblin with the glider.
Or, you know, an Ultron figure that can be disarticulated at the waist and plugged into that giant engine block.
Right.
That, what do you call it? Ed Big Daddy Roth thing that he used to.
His rat fink.
Exactly.
That's brilliant. See,
these are the things I want to see, and that, unfortunately, is also the venue where those things happen. The only other thing I could think of that I think would be incredibly cool is to have some kind of like a Defenders box set where you can have Damien Hellstrom.
That would
because
be cool.
I guarantee you Damien Hellstrom isn't going to fly out in the regular retail
market,
toy store
right.
world where, you know, Toys R Us is forced to waffle on the issue of Breaking Bad action figures.
Right. See, for me, if we're going 3¾-inch figures, which is an enduring love of colonized, I want
to. And that, by the way, is one of the most hideous diseases one can get is colonized.
Colonized.
Oh, man, that is just.
You don't want colon. You know, that was the downfall of the what was it, the Thousand-Eyed Man or the Hundred-Eyed Man?
Oh, yeah, the Argus, the Hundred-Eyed Giant. Yeah, he got a case of the colonized.
He got
it just spread like wildfire.
It did. Is the Daredevil
Scott Baio giving you pink eye?
Damn it! Is the Daredevil set from the TV show?
Oh, damn you!
Wouldn't that be brilliant?
Oh, God, yes.
Like
yes, it would.
You have you know, you have a, do a two pack and give me, all I would need is Daredevil and Kingpin. I mean, no, I would love to have Foggy.
What you need is a box set that is Foggy and Matt Esquires. Wilson Fisk, badass.
Yeah.
And most of the series, Daredevil, and final episode, Daredevil.
That'd be perfect. How awesome would that be?
That is, there is your quinfecta.
And also the long-awaited, never-realized, 3¾-inch Agent Coulson figure. And if you want to do it with a flyer, give him Lucille, give him the car.
Oh hell.
Give him Nick Fury's flying. Yeah. That's what I would want to see.
That I think, you know, you could drop that out at a $50, $60.
Oh, easy.
And people would snatch it up.
Easy. That's what I would want to see. Yeah, so I'm really hoping that we get to see some stuff. And you're right. You were talking to me earlier. They dropped, and I don't know what the reason is, but they dropped the ball hard on Age of Ultron. Just hard in the toy, you know.
You saw it. It first arrived with Guardians of the Galaxy. This is the point where there was a tremendous disconnect. Because up through Winter Soldier, if you were lucky, like I was, you could find a Falcon figure.
Right.
If you cared, with Thor the Dark World, you could get Marvel's Curse.
Right.
Or Dark Elves and stuff. And I kind of like that. I mean, I didn't go in for all the Thor stuff at all.
Right.
I've got a movie version of Thor because I've got my little movie Avengers assembled there together.
Right.
In the 3¾-inch scale. Plus, I've got the box set original Avengers 3¾-inch displayed above them. So you have kind of like the first Avengers together. One of these days, I'll try to get down the 3¾-inch comic Loki, so that I can, you know.
That would be awesome.
Have somebody standing in for Tom Hiddleston down in the lower shelf. The thing about it is that, you know, absent, or that you, when you have something like that, you know, it adds flavor to the collections of 3¾-inch collectors, because you can get that movie version and you get the comic version.
Right.
If you're so inclined. And starting with Guardians of the Galaxy, we did not get that.
Right.
There was not. I mean, I would have paid real money for a 3¾-inch Ronin, because I thought that character was beautifully realized. On
yeah.
And the whole gang. And what you got was some weird little HO scale.
Unarticulated, just...
Yeah, railroad, you put them out with your model railroads or something. I don't know what they were thinking.
And they didn't sell. That's the other thing.
By that time, I guess they'd already tooled up for Avengers, because you get the same crap there.
Right.
And you either get that, or you get the poorly articulated, the 5 points of articulation, 12-inch crap that's been forced on us.
Yeah.
By Hasbro for several years.
Mm-hmm. The hero scale, or whatever they call it.
Yeah. The zero scale.
Yeah. 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 Get them. Get them, Cole. But so, yeah, I mean, the idea that there wasn't a decent 3¾-inch movie accurate Star-Lord, Groot, and keep in mind, all the while, there are Black Series figures coming out for, you know, in every imaginable Star Wars character, three and three-quarter inch scale. Why wouldn't they? I don't understand that, the impetus there. I don't get why they didn't do
I
that.
Think part of the thing is there's this weird dichotomy that has to exist over at Hasbro.
Okay.
And that is where the Star Wars group and the Marvel group and the Betsy Wetsy group, or, you know, whatever, you know, dolls they make, and whatever the Hot Wheels group, are all segregated from one another.
Right.
That has to be the dynamic, because what happens is it took the Star Wars group at Hasbro a good 10 years. It took them several years to figure out people didn't want a miniaturized He-Man version of Luke and Han.
Those were great figures, come on.
And weird dumbass gimmicks like huge giant Todd McFarlane backpack crap going on. And it took them about 10 years to stop beating this drumhead of, we're a toy company, toys are for kids, ergo, kids want Darth Vader, kids want Luke, kids want Han, kids don't want Ice Cream Maker Man, kids don't want,
right,
Jabba's Palace denizens, or, the big dancer from Jabba's Palace, or... You know,
I agree with that.
And the thing about it is, what they grossly misinterpreted there was a burgeoning, bubbling, money spending adult collector market that they refused to acknowledge for years. And everything switched at one point. You could tell that the dynamic had changed. Someone finally woke up when they were taking out full-page ads in toy magazines showing a picture of, like, a cantina creature character or some other similar type of character, and said, you know, the ad, the gimmick, the tagline of the ad was 0.008 seconds on screen, now part of your collection, or something like that.
Right. But
and that's the point. And I think that the Marvel group has not reached that point. They still think they're making toys for kids.
But my point is this. Even if they are making toys for kids, would kids rather have... And the price point's basically the same on those crappy 2.5-inch figures or the 3 3/4-inch figures, right? Like, would the kids rather have decent 3 3/4-inch figures to play with that are on the same scale as the rest of their figures, or these crappy little toys?
Yeah, would they rather have a 3 3/4-inch Ronin, or have a Ronin and Nova Corps
random guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
pack of crappy, tiny figures that are easily lost.
I mean, and my thing is, when I was that age, when I was of the target demographic age for this, and I didn't want those... I wanted the good toys, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted the Star Wars Black Series 3 3/4-inch. If it was on a shelf next to those crappy toys, those were the crappy toys that nobody wanted, you know. And I think that's what happened. Why not right the ship? Why not reroute yourself at this point, now that you know that it's a mistake, and fix it instead of doing what you're doing? That's my thing. But I don't know. But you're right. You're right. There's definitely an issue there.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about toys that you will find.
Yeah, let's do
not
that.
The ones you're not going to find. Obviously, the DC's going to have some kind of presence there.
A big presence, too, from what we've seen.
Yeah. And I think one of the only pieces that is really all that compelling, I guess I stand corrected, there are a couple of pieces, but Mezco, I think, is going to take the prize.
Yeah, I think so.
For the most compelling piece that's going to be there, and that is a box set limited to 1,000 pieces, because they're going to be a complete ass about this and rule out most of us. And that is the Dark Knight Returns 2-pack.
It looks so good, too.
They have captured not only the complete and total essence of the Miller Batman.
Right.
And in all of its...
rage and glory.
Yeah. So, mid-battle with the leader of the mutants, but have gone so far as not to pull a single punch, and giving us a mutant leader complete with nipple spikes.
Yeah, like full on like super nipples. Like they are there for you.
The very same tactically ballistic missiles, or ballistic nipples that he sported in the comic.
Right. And, I mean,
it's not just like a couple little dabs of orange paint here. We're talking full on.
We're talking sculpted nipples.
You can put somebody's eye out.
Nipple sculpts. All right. But the, also, the Batman... Now, looking at the images, which you can find in any myriad of places, the Batman and the mutant leader, both, looks like they are... Do you know what size these guys are? Because...
I want to say they've got the look and feel of at least a 6-inch.
Right.
About the size of your DC Direct or other...
Because the clothing looks like it's actually... It's actually cloth.
Yeah, now Batman's cape is cloth. And, oh, yes, the mutant leader actually does have faux leather pants. Because I had not noticed that before.
If you look at Batman's actual outfit, it looks like...
Oh, my gosh. Yes, now that you mention it, I'm looking at a closer picture of that. And, or thought I was.
But, yeah, it looks like it's cloth. And
yes,
it looks
like they have put a cloth costume over a... unarticulated body, so yeah, these could be even 12-inch figures,
which is even more rad than we thought it was. Plus, the Batman logo is ripped, and it has like the bloody.
Yeah, they've actually gone and torn up the nice costume in advance for you.
Mm-hmm. And gave him the bloody claw marks from the claw. He's
got like
the
dirty,
mutant claws.
Like muddy splotches on the costume. They've done a lot of extraneous detailing. As well as on the plastic gauntlets and gloves, a lot of blood stains.
And it also comes with the foam that he throws in the face of...
And it
actually molds over his face, so it'll go on his face, as well as, you know, other hands that it comes with. So this is a big deal. This is a cool one. I'm in on this one.
I have to say, this is one of the most impressive pieces I've seen. This is old-school Comic-Con exclusive.
See, for me, as far as old-school Comic-Con exclusive that I'm actually excited about is Mobius Statuary Company, the company that actually makes statues, has done an amazing Crypto the Superdog. Like what looks like it's sort of a Snow Globian type statue, or at least the packaging invokes that, and it comes in a really nice bag with really nice packaging, and the sculpt is really, really cool. Like it, and that harkens for me back to real Comic-Con exclusivity, where it's not, you know, oh, here's a repaint of a figure.
Exactly.
It's like,
here's
this is a sculpt you can only get here.
That's right. Something unique and new, and yeah, it's hard to say if that's a snow globe, or it actually, now that upon closer inspection,
is it just the sculpt in a package? Which even that
is cool as hell.
It
looks to be that it's Crypto standing on, you know, a craggy cliffside there. Probably the cape is cloth with a wire armature to hold it up.
Yeah,
and the packaging is designed to, you know, look like it's some sort of metal thing, and then the it's like little stars on.
See, that's cool.
Three panels of the acrylic or the clear plastic
cool.
around it, so you get a nice little display piece. And then, in addition to that, you know, that is the actual packaged product is then sleeved in a box that features Superman giving Crypto some sugars.
That's right.
And then that is in turn sleeved in yet another box that celebrates 60 years on Earth that Crypto has enjoyed. And that in turn is put in a damn...
60 years on Earth bag.
It's put in a damn going to Whole Foods...
reusable sack.
Reusable sack, yeah. This cloth bag.
And the coolest thing about this, first of all, it's 5 inches tall. It's almost a half foot tall, which is awesome. The figure and the base together. That's a fairly big piece of statue.
That's something you can put out on display and you know, you don't have to, like, squint at a distance.
It's $35. It's affordable.
$35. And the thing is, it got even better because attached to that display box.
Yes.
Once you get through the whole Russian nesting figure. to get to your statue, should you be so inclined to, God forbid, be like me and be a sin eater of collecting and take it out of the damn package?
Right.
Depending from the front of the box, just below the statue.
Yes.
Is a metal, presumably?
Yes, I think it's metal. I think it's metal.
Superman S shield emblem.
Yes.
That is actually a... you can actually, like, clip that to your dog's collar.
Yeah, it comes with a dog tag.
Crypto dog tag.
Yeah. So there's a dog tag, the bag it comes in, a lapel pin.
Damn it!
There's going to be 200 each day of the show. You can pre-order in advance. And the company uses a Gmail account, which is awesome. All told, the box itself...
Pass the savings on to you.
Yeah, if the box is... If you keep it in box, it's 9 inches tall. The dog tag that's on the box, you can either leave it on the box or you can use it as a dog tag. That's amazing. That is value added out the wazoo for $35, bucks, man. Like,
I think
buy.
Is where you're really getting into old school
stuff,
where this doesn't have an exorbitant price point.
Yeah, price tag.
Just because it's an exclusive.
Right, like that one. That one's got me. That one, I'll be.
And the thing that is,
in
some cases, that exorbitant price tag is incumbent on the fact that a limited edition is vastly more expensive to produce by volume. You know, it's volume. But at the same time, some of this stuff they're producing like tens of thousands to sell, and they're charging $50 a piece for them for something that would be. Like, say, a Funko Pop vinyl that might normally be $10 is $40.
Right.
It's an exclusive.
Now, in the realm of things that are priced high, but yet might be worth it for some members of our Australian audience, there is a Kiss Alive 2 stage with the action figures for $160, which all told, that's not bad, because it comes with Gene Simmons, it comes with Ace Frehley, it comes with Paul Stanley. It does.
And it even comes with Peter Criss.
It does. So. It comes with the whole kit and caboodle.
Now how much would you pay?
Get this, okay? First of all, it comes in the Kiss Alive 2 box where you can disassemble and reassemble the stage, which is platformed. So there's two platforms, stairs up the back that go to the drum kit in the back. But there's a light up Kiss behind it as part of the display.
Yeah, their logo.
Yeah.
Not only lights up, but apparently lights up sequentially. So the K, the I, the S, and the S each light up individually, then they all light up simultaneously, then it goes through that whole spelling out Kiss for you.
Not to mention the fact that it comes with temporary tattoos, which are to simulate the ones that came in the Kiss Alive 2 album. It comes in the Kiss Alive 2 album artwork. Like, it's all packaged as if it were the Kiss Alive. It comes with a speaker that plays the songs built into the stage. Like, this is cool. Like, I'm not as big of a Kiss fan as, let's say, Stu Balk is.
Yeah.
But this thing is cool. Like I'm into this. Like,
it's a mini wireless speaker.
That's rad.
What can we expect in 2016? Love Gun?
Can we get a Love Gun? Can I just get Peter Criss?
I want to have is a 12-inch fully articulated cloth costume Peter Criss with drum kit. And the big drum there in the front with the Kiss drum head is actually behind that is a speaker playing. I think I know where you're headed here.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to say it? Beth. Playing Beth. I want the drum kit, and then I want a stool and a mic. And I want you to be able to take him from the drum kit, put him on the stool and the mic out front, and then that play Beth.
Oh, like, okay. So he comes out and actually comes to the forefront.
Yeah, he comes. The rest of the band clears, and then
he
sings
they
Beth.
Sort of step back, and they give him his.
I don't want a full
his
orchestra.
Brief Ringo Starr moment. His
right. I don't want a full orchestra with him. I just want like a cardboard like you know the three panel cardboard like shield like the stand up that goes in the back.
Yeah, and then I should also come with tissues.
Definitely come with tissues
for when you get to those refrains about Beth. What can I do?
That's what. That's totally what I want.
What the hell was that?
That was my Beth. Now there's one in here that I want you to. There's one in here that I want.
Is it like the Ermagerd girl trying to do Beth?
Yes. There's one in here I want you to speak to.
Ermagerd's key to Satan's service.
Because I think it's. I think Ermagerd burf. I think there's one that we both would like to talk about, but I would like it if you did because I think it probably holds more weight if you talk about it. It's a small one, but again, affordable. Okay. And I think do you know where I'm going with this? I think we should take a voyage home.
Yes, indeed. This one I actually was spotted earlier, noticing that the price point was about what you'd pay for this sort of item anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're forcing me to do this because it's kind of juxtaposing my love of the Star Trek cinema by and large.
Right.
Especially my love of the, as we often call them, the evens.
The evens, right.
Against my abject hatred of bobbleheads.
Right.
But that is the Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, George, Gracie, and Spock.
I love that Spock's on there, by the way. Yeah, that's my favorite. If you see the picture.
Spock is sort of like hanging off like some sort of hideous lamprey there.
He's got to be a... Because the thing is only 4.5 inches wide. So Spock has to be like a half inch.
Yeah.
It's like a half inch of Spock.
Yeah, and he's there in his little space underwear.
And with the headband, like...
He's talking to the whales.
He's talking to the whales.
And what's nice about this is they're pretty decent representations of a humpback whale. Certainly not the level of, like, say, a Safari Limited replica.
Right.
But, you know, some effort was put into it to make them. And then, I guess, out of some misbegotten sense of necessity, we can't just simply make this thing. It has to bobble in some way. Well, you know, the whale's head. The whale is literally one of those animals where you don't know where the head ends and the body begins.
Right, exactly.
Even the insects are goodly enough to have a distinctive separation of
head. Of head and body, abdomen. Yeah, thorax and...
and abdomen. But the whale is just sort of this congealed pile of flesh. So, they sort of like tuna in a Japanese market. They have... split the back end of the right about the hips have split the tail section, so from about the hips back to the fluke, each of your majestic whales now has this distinct clear separation, this sort of free floating bit of anatomy that I guess can kind of wobble around helplessly as if someone had cut through but not quite severed the spine.
They could have gone a lot of really weird ways with it. I'm glad that was the affectation they gave it for bobbleheadiness.
Could have been like a bobble Spock, just hanging there on the side like some sort of weird parasite.
Bobble Spock. Sounds like an awful drink somewhere.
Actually, Bobble Spock once opened for Ultron Cafe.
It probably did. Bobble Spock.
It was their first and last appearance.
Do you have the bottle of Bobble Spock?
And they demand a bottle of Bobble Spock in their dressing room.
And one that I'm excited about, and $30 for this, for me, doesn't seem bad, okay?
The Bobble Tail was $30.
Well, that one is $20. Which isn't bad at all for that, and it invokes one of the iconic scenes from the Star Trek franchise. My only hope is that at some point we get the bobble-headed Kirk and Spock from at the end of Star Trek I with the hands the hands on either side of the glass just bobble-heading around
with a speaker that says, right. You have been and always shall be my friend.
Oh God. All right, moving on to a less depressing topic. For $30, this is, for me, isn't bad, and I would pick this up because it's iconic, and it's one of those things that you would only get. I think that only flies at as a convention exclusive. And that's the Saturday Night Weekend Update Amy Poehler Tina Fey 3¾-inch figures playset with the Weekend Update news desk.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you. It's one of those things where occasionally you'll get these exclusives that really belong there. Not to sound dismissive of it, but they're just not going to find their market outside of maybe Hot Topic.
Right.
And the nice thing about this and that Spock bobblehead and a handful of other things that Entertainment Earth is providing.
Right.
You can buy them on Entertainment Earth without benefit of ever setting foot in
That's
San
true.
Diego.
That's true. That's true.
And God bless them for that, because so few...
They've caught on,
do
essentially.
That,
right.
Have allow you access unless you happen to be there.
Right.
Granted, is it as super rare as some of these other things? Probably not.
But who
Otherwise,
cares?
They wouldn't offer it this way. But yeah. But, you know... The try and fail ratio of bringing Saturday Night Live action figures to market, there's not a great track record there.
No. It's woefully,
There was the problem, I think, with licenses that are all over the map. Years ago, somebody tried to do an Adult Swim license rather than concentrating on individual aspects thereof.
Right.
And the same with Sid and Marty Krofft line. And the big fallacy with those sorts of things is the assumption is always, we'll pick that up in series two.
Right.
And with very rare exception, there is never a series two. The same with a Robot Chicken. And there was a Saturday Night Live line that mixed the entire history of Saturday Night Live. You had Samurai Baker. I actually have that action figure, and it's really cool and a lot of fun. In the same series, you had Goat Boy.
Right.
The 30-year gap between these two characters. And had there been a series two, there would have been a Hans and Franz 2-pack.
Correct.
Which I also would be saying I would own. But that never happened. This is an opportunity to get something out there that wouldn't happen otherwise. And I think, for Saturday Night Live fans, for fans of Weekend Update with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, this is great, but it also opens the door for the potential for them to release the same box set again.
Right.
With, Dan Aykroyd.
Jane Curtin. Or any of the Update, people that you ever wanted to produce, you could put them in there. And there have been, 20?
So, yeah, exactly. You could have just like the desk with just Dennis Miller.
Right, or with just Kevin Nealon.
Or
Colin, I forget his last name, and that's going to bother me, but yeah.
Colin Farrell?
No.
That would have been an annoying.
That would have been a bad one. So yeah, I'm interested in that.
And I believe it's your thing.
Diamond Previews has a few things that are out, and you can buy most of them as well on shopafx.com. But there are some hit or miss here. A lot of them. One of the big misses for me is there's usually some sort of super awesome DC figure that's been released. Do you have the convention exclusive Swamp Thing, right?
Yes.
From a couple years ago.
From DC Direct. Yeah, that was, the Swamp Thing was actually Mattel.
Okay.
And what was cool about that one was it has a rubber skin that is actually molded over an articulated body.
And that's awesome.
So it's like you have this articulated figure buried inside this Swamp Thing suit.
Right.
And while this was released in
wide
to the general public, I believe via MattyCollector.com, the exclusivity of those figures, of Mattel's action figure line, often tended to be what they packed in with them.
Right.
They did
right.
later make, the Wonder Twins were available. But if you wanted Gleek,
with
an eagle and a bucket of water,
you had to get it from San Diego.
A hideous purple face inside it. Or if you wanted the exclusive, the suitcase plastic man.
Right, right, yes, I remember that,
it had,
yes.
Like San Diego Comic-Con comics inside the suitcase that was Plastic Man.
Right.
You had to buy at San Diego or pay a premium.
But this year they have a really kind of, I don't like it. It's this sketch Batman. Have you seen the
yeah,
the Jim Lee one, base?
That one's a DC Direct.
And yeah.
It is, yes. It's meant to invoke, it. What it brought to mind until I noticed it was from DC Collectibles, as they're now known, not DC Direct, it invoked to me that 16-bit or whatever, 32-bit
right. Yeah.
Batman, which, you, the movie Batman that you have.
Yeah.
It's like they were trying, I thought for a minute it was the same company.
Right, yeah,
and
which
like
they're doing a Rambo
trying to do
cartoon figure for
that
for
thing. Again, only we're trying to do sketch instead of...
Right, but it know. Looks it doesn't look right. It just
no, it doesn't. It looks like Bizarro Batman or
well, it doesn't lend itself to 3D. Like I get what they
yeah.
were trying to do. Like the idea is novel, but it just in practice once in practice it just doesn't look right.
No,
you know, and that's a shame. It,
I'm sure it has a god awful price point.
Yeah, which we don't know yet, but. But it just doesn't do it for me. And then they've got their usual affair of like maquettes and PVC statues and things. But they do have a Ghostbusters logo pizza cutter, which is interesting. Where it's the logo, but then it has a second wheel at the bottom that you use to cut pizza.
Oh, okay.
They got a bunch of Mini Mates, which we won't dwell on because I know how Cole feels about Mini Mates. They got some Ant-Man and a Kevin Smith one and the black and white Ninja Turtles, like sketch Ninja Turtles, which actually in reality look good.
That's one where they hit the mark.
But the one that I really am interested in, there's two. One on the good side and one on just the weird side. The one on the good side is the flocked Rocket Raccoon pop figure.
Yes.
Which is cool looking. Like, good job. Like that
yeah,
was a good thought.
And in fact, I think for, like, GameStop or Hot Topic or somebody, the Funko had done a flocked Wampa.
Okay.
Their Star Wars line. So they've had some precedent. They've had some history doing a flocked character. And if you're unfamiliar with what we're talking about, we're not talking about the... Robert De Niro, Ben Stiller.
Meet
comedy,
the Flockers.
That's a flocked.
That's a flocked character.
Yeah. Flocking is where you have that kind of little fuzziness to an otherwise plastic figurine.
Right. And they've done that with one of their Funko Pop figures for Rocket Raccoon, which is pretty interesting looking. And that's cool. And the one that I'm really kind of just bad about is the Vision, it's their Sofubi figures, which I've seen.
I'm not even sure what that's supposed to mean.
It's just one of their brand of figures. It's their really tall, strangely articulated. They have a Skeletor and a Deadpool versions of these that I've actually carried in the store that I work in. But this is a fairly non-articulated 10-inch Vision that's translucent. Vision, the comic book character Vision as realized in Age of Ultron, but also this one is more representative of the comic book.
What costume elements are there certainly invoke the comic. And it's got this weird sort of strange 50s Christmas ornament vibe to it.
Yeah, it's got like a David Bowie meets Barbarella thing going on, and I don't like it. I wouldn't mind having it. I'm of two minds here. I wouldn't mind having it, but I just don't. I don't like. Don't think it's fantastic. I just it just doesn't. It rubs me in wrong ways. But yeah, those were a couple. Did you have any more that you wanted to talk about?
Well, one of the more curious things, because it falls squarely into the territory of why.
Yes.
And I'm guessing maybe we're just trying to capture a simultaneous nostalgia markets.
Okay.
Or have bankable icons.
Is this the one I actually want these, if you're going to talk about these?
We'll see. It is certainly possible. This is the from our friends at Mattel, in a hideous train wreck, quite literally.
Damn it, I do want them.
Two licenses.
I do want them. I want these so bad.
It is the Thomas the Tank Engine DC
mashup
thing where you have.
I so want him. I want him so bad.
You have a Superman Thomas the Tank Engine. So I guess what's implicit here is that Thomas is actually secretly Super Train.
Super Train.
That's why Thomas wears glasses. What would Sir Topham Hatt say? You have the other more diesel engine looking Batman.
Right.
You have a an otherwise probably sweet locomotive given over as Harley Quinn. The inexplicable Mr. Freeze, I'm guessing.
No, I think that's Cyborg.
Oh, is that supposed to be Cyborg? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that makes sense because it's sort of silver. Okay.
It's silver and it has all that like cyber like transistors and cyber stuff running down the sides of it. Yeah.
Okay, so it's supposed to be like a bullet train, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you have, I'm not sure what car on the, like a dining car or something, but is now the Joker.
I love these. I don't know what it is about them. I wish I knew how big they were.
They're in Thomas Tank Engine size. I've seen them. They're you know, they've got a probably a little bit bigger footprint than a Hot Wheels car.
Yeah.
And certainly taller.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen some, like, Thomas the Tank Engine stuff. Ask Lacey, for God's sake, she wears a
Can we... Okay, so as we're coming up on the end of this, which we are, we got, like, 10 minutes left, there's one in particular before we go that if you're going, I want you to go look at it and just tell me how it makes you feel, okay? I don't want you to buy it.
This is going to be like the Alan Moore of San Diego Comic-Con collectibles, because you will truly be gazing into the abyss.
I want you to look at it and just record your emotions about how this makes you feel. And that is, there is a weird, they call it the monolith of the original 1966 Batman of Adam West and Burt Ward built into a granite outcropping. Just, it's weird, dude.
It's meant to, I've seen collectibles before that are meant to invoke a kind of Mount Rushmore effect.
Yeah, but this, it just looks like their heads are coming out of a mountain and it's been poorly realized. Like, what did I call it when we were talking about it? Wes Anderson's Batman 1966. It's dumb. I don't know. How does it make you, when you look at it, how does it make you feel, Cole?
The way I equated it when we were talking before the show is, to me, it has this powerful vibe. Like, it looks like the finished product of something you would buy at the craft cabin at camp. That's white plaster when you get it, and you spend two afternoons over there, you know, trying to avoid the sun, painting it.
Right.
And you bring this home, and you proudly put it on your mantle until, say, an older sibling finally is creeped out enough that they blame the cat for knocking it off and shattering it. And that is not based on a true story in any way.
Not at all.
I may be channeling someone else's true stories, but the fact that they're this abomination has an asking price of $75, and it's limited to 200 pieces, thank goodness, because that poor kid back at camp could only churn out so many in a summer. The thing about it is, I noticed that Factory Entertainment is the manufacturer on this. They actually have the 1966 Dynamic Duo monolith unpainted.
No.
And unpainted, it's not that bad.
I'm looking it up right now, because I gotta...
If you look at the unpainted version, it even looks a bit like a serviceable version of Adam West and Burt Ward. The artist hasn't quite captured it, but you slap a coat of paint on that sucker and it ruins that effect pretty damn pronto.
I can't get this thing to open at this point. Like I'm trying to get the Factory Entertainment Group website to open, and it's like, no. It's like, I refuse. Factory Entertainment Group is their name.
Yeah, and they, it seems like from the looks of things, they have the worst paint department of any manufacturer.
Oh God, I'm looking at some of their other work now.
Three dimensional. I've looked at, like, there was a Joker that's supposed to evoke the birth of the Joker from the Killing Joke.
Yes, I'm looking at it as we speak.
And I think that, you know, the unpainted version before it was sent off to the factory to be painted up probably looked pretty good.
And it came out looking like your senior art project?
Yes, it's just...
Like, the Green Lantern's the same way. Like, the Green Lantern itself is really, is all right. You know? Like he's got a weird madman face thing going on, but it's okay. But then the paint job is like, what is happening right now? What are you doing?
Okay, well, we have to, before we close on this thing.
Okay.
Absolutely, there's two things here. I am patently unfamiliar with Breaking Bad.
Okay.
But like many things, I become like the old guy in, Beyond Thunderdome. I got the knowing of a lot of things.
Yeah, you got the knowing of a lot of things.
And so I am aware of Breaking Bad. I'm also aware of the odd spinoff prequel.
Brilliant. Better Call Saul show.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so there is a Saul Goodman action figure for those of you, who were bemused that character didn't make the line up to this point, yet got his own spinoff show, and in the same universe where the bad guy from that god-awful Revolution with half his face doing a movie Two-Face gets an action figure.
Right. Oh, well, there is one we haven't talked about that we should really talk about, if for no other reason than so that we can make Jason Dilworth happy.
That's where I was headed next. Yes.
Good, good.
Our good friend Jason Dilworth over at SCMS Live.
Whom will be going to San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, he'll be here, and very likely, I would suspect that he's going to, mortgage the house or something.
Yeah, he's going to leverage something to get this thing.
Yeah, to make this happen. Because I can't see him coming back to Texas without it.
Right.
And subsequently doing a review of it on his site. But Jason is a lifelong fan of the Transformers and a lifelong hater of the GoBots.
Yes.
Because we can't fail to put that barb in there. But
but that's all we're going to say. We're not going to go any further than that.
Yeah. I don't know what this damn thing costs. My guess is we're looking at a minimum of $100. Probably more, because Hasbro tends to go all in and do these $100 things.
Right. This looks like a couple hundred dollars worth of
vac
metal, yeah.
And this is the Transformers Devastator, which is by far, one of the most impressive things I've ever seen come out of that line.
It's honestly, it's pretty damn glorious.
Yeah, it is truly a thing of beauty.
It's 18 inches tall when fully built. And it breaks down into its component parts,
which are various heights and dimensions, of course.
Right.
Because, the bulldozer is not as tall as the cement mixer.
I guess. I mean, I don't know the... Yeah.
Backhoe.
But it comes down into its five parts, and then you can build up Devastator with it, which was one of my favorite toys as a Ute. This looks amazing.
I was never into the whole Transformer scene. But this is pretty freaking impressive. Yeah. And the original incarnation was fairly impressive in its own right.
Right. My brother was the Transformers guy of the family. I was the G.I. Joe's guy. But Devastator was one of those things that even I, as a non-Transformers fan, was a fan of. Because it was just cool. You had all the, you had all your Earth movers that built into this giant monstrosity. And that's awesome. And they do it complete justice. And it looks like the actual packaging invokes the backhoe, or what's the word I'm looking for? Not backhoe, bulldozer. Like,
yeah.
The bulldozer,
You got your, like, bulldozer foot and your, because I had a bad case of bulldozer foot one time, too.
You did? Yeah, I know. It's awful. But, yeah, this thing is amazing looking. So that's kind of the big piece, I think.
That truly is, I think, the breakaway.
Every year there's something, like the Helicarrier, or like,
Or the, that big box set of Star Wars with the Jar Jar and Carbonite.
Right. There's something. And this is it this year. This is the big one. And luckily for Cole and I, we're not big Transformers fans, so we're not...
Yeah, because otherwise we would be like we were back when, about 3 years ago, when we were seriously coveting that 3¾-inch villain set with Radioactive Man.
Oh, yeah.
Tiger Shark, and which, by the way, I never found that in the Marvel Legends line. And I want it. Whoever the hell, I guess Baron Zemo.
Baron Zemo, yes.
So these are the things. Other than that, the only other thing I saw that just was somehow strangely brilliant was the Archer pillow.
Yeah, it's weird. Weirdly,
it's weird. It's just like his disembodied cartoon head as a pillow.
And I kind of want it. I don't know why. The psychosis involved.
Part
in
of
that.
It is you want to wear his face as your face.
I do want to wear his face as my face. All right. Well, that I think wraps up our and we'll do what we always do, which is once everything gets pushed to the fore and we know what everything is and we get some reviews on stuff, we'll kind of revisit this stuff. We do it every year. So
I do want to point out that one thing that struck me is that this is the least vitriolic
it is
we have ever been, and I don't know whether that bothers me or but it seems like there just wasn't enough there to get upset about. I'm not
We're solving for X, and X is the lack of Marvel and the real lack of DC action figures, because you know we love the Marvel and to an equal or lesser extent we really like the DC action figures.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a real lack of those things this year as exclusives. You know, we could have seen, like we said in the beginning, there were a billion Marvel things that we could pull out of our ass that we would like to see. And as far as DC goes, there's all kinds of stuff with, you know, I was really hoping that we're seeing a real rebirth of the 89 Batman stuff. We're seeing NECA release all those figures like the, like you were saying, the 8-bit Batman, the Michael Keaton 6-inch Batman figure was released.
Another thing that also for me personally is strangely lacking is any kind of just high profile Star Wars item. The big bad, the huge thing this year for Star Wars is oddly enough just a repack.
Yeah.
And granted, a lot of it is kind of a bit of a repack sometimes, but usually there's enough original material there. And they're doing this giant, like, $100-and-some-odd Rancor Pit thing, where you get a Rancor, which previously, I mean, granted, this gives you another opportunity to obtain the big-ass last incarnation, the best incarnation of the Rancor that Hasbro has done.
Yeah.
That was a Target exclusive. But, hey presto, it's another damned exclusive.
Right.
And it's this big Black Series box set where you have a Rancor, and I guess Luke's probably down there in the pit, and you've got Leia in the bikini, you got Jabba. No throne at this price point, which is one of the annoying things. In any scale, they keep releasing Jabba without a throne.
Right.
And there was a Walmart exclusive, thank goodness, that did have a throne a few years ago. But for the most part, you know, Jabba's decidedly throneless. But the thing about it is, it's just a bunch of figures you probably already have. Mm-hmm. So if you're a figure opener like me, I think maybe I'd seen someone mention that the Jabba figure may be new. I'm not certain there. Maybe enough different from something else. But for the most part, it's just, you know.
More of the same.
Yeah, and I think uninspired.
Yes. Yeah. The whole thing seems a little uninspired to me. Like you said, the creativity isn't there. You know, the real outside the box that we've come to expect isn't there. And I think it's because it's, I don't know, I don't want to say that it's becoming passé, that the idea of the Comic-Con has shifted even so far in that the exclusive toys are going away as much as the comic books have. But maybe it has. Maybe it's you know, moved past that point.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. And again, it's like you're saying, it's that lack of Marvel, and perhaps to a certain degree, maybe Hasbro's holding out their big guns, not only in the Marvel realm, but in the Star Wars realm.
Maybe, but then again, I mean, are they pushing stuff out for Celebration? Is Marvel pushing stuff out for D23? You know, are those the things that are happening right now? Like you know, we're seeing a sea change, I think, in the convention. We've talked about it on the show. We're seeing a sea change in the convention scene for sure. Is this systemic of that sea change? You know, is this part of it that we're seeing? Not only are we drilling down our conventions into, you know, really specific licenses, but are we drilling down the exclusives that go to those? Like you said, that's the market that you want to sell to. Is that what's happening here?
And also, I can't help but wonder, are we seeing some inklings of, you know, this monster, this mega thing? Is this the first inkling of it limping?
Is it starting to? Is the eradication coming? Is the asteroid hitting?
Because there's a lot of you know consensus that this sort of monster con may be a dying breed. These things are just too big for their own good.
Yeah, I agree. And
that remains to be seen.
And on that note, on that postulation, we will close the show. Cole, will you plug us up, please?
Yes, indeed. We're coming to you exclusively through, the Jedi Cole Universe at JediCole.com. where you can find this and many another podcast and the occasional feature article, which I need to get back to because I miss writing, and all manner of just fun and cool and FUD and what have you. And you can write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com.
There you go.
You can find tweets from time to time. We're on Twitter @TheJediColeU. You can find the some live Jedi Cole shows as part of DeepElemOnAir.com, where we are part of the Deep Elem on Air family, which we're not only just insanely proud of and thrilled to be a part of, but it's been an amazing experience. The Rancor Pit Live has seen its first birthday and continues to go strong. So this, having been invited to be a part of that, so long ago, it seems like yesterday at the same time, is pretty amazing. A lot of cool stuff going on here at the JCU. And, of course, you can look for me in just over a week from tomorrow. Matter of fact, I will be at representing the Jedi Cole Universe, myself, Mrs. Jedi Cole, and anyone else. Wrangle. I think we're going to get PJ, aka Vega Bomber, from Do It Yourself, which if you checked out yesterday's Do It Yourself episode 1, that was a lot of fun. Pretty remarkable revamp of that movie.
Yeah. What movie
come out
did
and
they
check
do?
Us out. We're going to be at Texas Comic Fest in Louisville. And if you want it, you're like, well, how do I find out about that? Go to Convention Awareness Project Texas, which is www.cap-tx.info, and just look at this week's conventions.
There you go.
Texas Comic Fest, get all the details. Come on out and see us. The JCU will be out there doing some live podcast recording, ideally, and some we're going to be selling some stuff off as fundraisers. We're going to be doing some raffles as fundraisers.
That's awesome, man.
And we're going to have all kinds of stuff going on. And Eddie Medina of the Rancor Pit and Figments will also be out there in Artist Alley plying his wares.
There you go. And in convention news, the one of our favorite conventions, Lubicon, has their Kickstarter up as we speak.
Very nice.
They're about halfway to their goal. So if you're out there listening and you want to give to a worthy cause, hit that up, make that convention a reality. It's going to be awesome. They've got every day I'm getting news of new and exciting things that they're going to be trying to pull off, and they are going to pull off, but they do need a little help in that that department. So get out there and give what you can. It is for a good cause, and it's going to be awesome. All right, all that being said, I think it's time to close.
Oh, and don't forget.
The
Jedi Cole Universe comic toy and collectible swap meet coming
up. Plug it
up. August 11th, I believe it is. How sad.
It's your show, man.
I know.
It's not like you don't have enough going on, you know.
Yeah, I am a little addled on that. I believe it is August.
Yeah, I think it's August 11th, now. Man.
And yes, August. I'm sorry. Multiply that by two. August 22nd.
Ah, okay.
I knew that didn't sound right. August 22nd in Arlington, Texas, the Jedi Cole Universe Comic Toy and Collectible Swap Meet. This is actually, believe it or not, my 7th or 8th show of this kind, but the first one ever done under the auspices of the Jedi Cole Universe. You can go to jcuswapmeet.blogspot.com. The site is slowly being developed.
Nice.
But we will have some more information soon. Admission is a mere $2, $1 with the flyers that will soon be available at comic shops all over the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And, of course, if you mention any JCU program, we'll count that as a coupon.
We'll count that as a coupon. All right. Well, there you go, guys. If you're making it out to San Diego, look at this stuff. Go find it. Put your eyes on it. Buy what you want. If you can see that awful monolith thing that they made, report back.
Write or phone in or somehow tell us your thoughts on that, because it's going to haunt my dreams tonight.
If you can take a picture of yourself with it, with the same facial expression that Burt Ward has, we'll figure out something to give you, because it's horrifying. It's horrifying. All right, so buy, collect, and enjoy your comics. Buy, collect, and enjoy your collectibles while you're at it.
Your
exclusives, if you can get your hands on them. Join us next week when we'll get back to our regularly scheduled programming, discussing something that will tie back into our 5 days of more madness, and once again go a little bit down the corridor. I promise not as much as we did before, I promise, but a little bit in an after fashion. We don't want to get too much. All right, Cole, say good night.
Good night, everybody.
Baby, I'm gonna want you. Baby, I'm gonna need you. Oh, it took so long.